The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
PN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. Yes, Roger, forgot to put on my TV mic. That is true. While I do that, let me just tell you, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-ESPN. Say-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town. Fansville! Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'll tell you what, Roger, this is how I feel about the playoffs in baseball. Baseball is such a local sport that when your local team isn't in it, you don't care as much. Now, I have an interest in the Dodgers because when I was doing radio in L.A. for 6 years, I thought to myself, I could root for the Dodgers. They can be my NL team. They're from Brooklyn originally. Don Mattingly, the Yankees great, was the manager at the time. I always hated the Mets. Real New Yorker knows you love the Yankees, hate the Mets. Or vice versa if you're, you know, brain damaged or something. But anyway, so I have interest in the Dodgers. And but the truth of the matter is, when your team isn't in it, the interest is not the same.
But isn't Kershaw a national narrative?
This is what I was getting to. See, Rod, you didn't know when to leave well enough alone. This is, see, the listener in their car right now is thinking, well, what about Kershaw? That's right.
Yeah, I'm a listener.
I'm interested in Clayton Kershaw. And as Jeff Passan told me on First Take today, like, I'm what's the opposite of damning with faint praise? You know, I'm kind of criticizing him by comparing him to Peyton Manning and Wilt Chamberlain. Peyton Manning and Wilt Chamberlain, regular season, you could argue, are the best who ever played their sports. I don't even think it's an argument in football. Best regular season player of all time was pretty clearly Peyton Manning. I mean, no one watched Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in the regular season thought, I think Tom Brady's better than Peyton Manning. No one thought that. Peyton Manning was a machine until it mattered most. Now, Peyton Manning eventually got those two Super Bowls, and one while he was still the great Peyton Manning, and one while he was done and he rode the defense. But that really got the monkey off his back. Let me ask you this. How many people have you heard talk about Peyton Manning's the greatest quarterback of all time? See, now you can answer, Raj. You ever in a conversation nowadays, and you're talking about the greatest quarterbacks ever or greatest football players ever, and someone says, what about Peyton Manning? Does that ever happen to you?
Not amongst my friends.
No one talks Peyton Manning as the best ever, as the greatest ever. Had it not been for the futility in the postseason, which occurred for most of his career, for especially the first half of his career, he was god-awful. You know, well, he doesn't play defense, really. Does he play offense? Because the Jets beat him 41-0 in the playoffs, as I recall. Nothing. Had receivers, a running game, an offensive line, everything. It hurts his standing all time, but he got the championships. So he can't, you know, the conversation's not, but Peyton Manning could never win the big one. Dan Marino, remember before Tom Brady set the standard at 6, Dan Marino, the whole thing was, the knock against him was he couldn't even get the one. Marino's like the original Peyton Manning. I know very different in terms of like what they did. Marino's incredible arm, but Marino, when your eyeballs were on him, he said, yeah, that's the best guy. But he didn't have the playoff success that Joe Montana did. Well, what happened if Walsh had Marino? But he didn't. Imagine Marino with a championship. Back then, he'd have been in that conversation. Is he the best ever, the greatest ever? But he didn't even get the one. Peyton at least got those two. One as the great Peyton Manning and another one. So the conversations about Peyton aren't, oh, if only he could have won the championship. He got it. He got two. But no one says he's the greatest of all time. Wilt Chamberlain put up ridiculous numbers, although when you normalize for the era, in fact, Michael Jordan put up better numbers than Wilt Chamberlain. But Wilt Chamberlain put up, you know, before advanced analytics, you know, people smartened up, averaged 50 points a game one season with 25 boards. And he won two championships with two different teams. But Bill Russell won a billion championships. And even if Russell, well, but Russell didn't put up Chamberlain numbers. But yeah, but Jordan did, and he won a billion championships. No one talks about Wilt Chamberlain as the greatest of all time. Here and there, a few fans do, misguided fans. But, and he got the championships. But Wilt, like Peyton Manning, spent too much of his career not doing what he had to do when it mattered most. Well, he wasn't on good enough teams. The knock on Wilt Chamberlain, if you read contemporary accounts and talk to people who watched him in that era, is if you really needed him to score, he decided to pass the ball. If you really needed him to share the ball, he decided to score. His instincts were bass-ackwards. Look, for whatever, but these are not guys like Dan Marino, or today I talk about James Harden. At least get the one off your back, right? Clayton Kershaw is hoping to join the ranks of Peyton Manning and Wilt Chamberlain. And let me tell you why, in fact, that's not good for Clayton Kershaw. I mean, certainly at this point, he'd like to be one of those guys and not a guy who just can't ever win it, right? Because Clayton Kershaw, the more I think about it, the more I think had it not been for the playoff futility, he'd be considered the greatest starting pitcher who ever lived. You have certain pitchers, and I'm going to get to the game last night. You have certain pitchers like Sandy Koufax, who hit his prime and then had 4 years where, oh my God, that's the greatest pitcher of all time. He led the league in everything, every year, and except for the 1 year he was hurt. And Dean Chance was a boxing promoter who won the Cy Young the 1 year out of the four that Sandy Koufax didn't. And Dean Chance was like a carnival barker with the Angels. He used to tell me, oh, man, I can't repeat all the language he'd use, but I wasn't half the pitcher Koufax. Well, the only reason I got that MVP is because he got hurt. And even the Cy Young, and even then, because there was only one for both leagues back then, and even then, Koufax finished second or third, and he missed a bunch of starts. So you have guys like that. Then you have guys like Steve Carlton, who had these very long careers, incredible, and hit very high heights, like Koufax-level heights at his very best, but didn't do it year after year after year. It was like, Carlton was like, oh my God, that's one of the greatest seasons of all time, followed by that's an all-star pitcher, but not one of the greatest we've ever seen. And then another one, you know, it was more spread out. Randy Johnson was like that too, I would say. Clayton Kershaw did the Koufax basically over his whole career. Clayton Kershaw had like Koufax level dominance in the regular season in his prime, but started out dominant and never really stopped. He had like a 6 year span where he was three times the Cy Young Award winner. I want to say once he came in second, third, and fifth, but in each of those seasons, you could say he's the best pitcher in baseball. In this season, he got hurt a little bit. He missed some starts. That's why he came in fifth. In this season, he came in second. He probably should have won it. You know, like it was like Koufax plus Steve Carlton. But in the playoffs, understand, if you think I'm exaggerating about Kershaw, of all pitchers post dead ball era, like forget about before they started hitting home runs, 1919 and earlier, all pitchers post dead ball era, all starting pitchers, Clayton Kershaw has by far the lowest career ERA, 2.43. That's number one, as Clubber Lang said. I'm number one. The closest pitcher to him is DeGrom, who has a much shorter career so far than Kershaw. The best ever over a long time now. But in the playoffs, he doesn't have a single round of the playoffs where his ERA is under four. Worse yet, every round you go deeper, his ERA spikes up. So he, until last night. It was low fours in the ALDS, high fours in the NLDS, high fours in the NLCS, and over five in the World Series. He threw six innings of one-run ball with one walk and eight strikeouts last night, which in today's game is great. in any game, in any day, it would have been a real good start. But today, 6 innings, like, you know, 7 2/3 back in the day. And they won game one. That's a hell of a performance against a real good team. And he needed it in the worst kind of way. Now his World Series ERA is 4.6-something as opposed to 4.8-something in the NLCS. So now finally he's at least, you can't say anymore, as you progress in each stage, Kershaw gets worse and worse. And Jeff Passan on First Take made a good point. Hey, Kershaw after 6 innings falls off. Too often he would blow up in the 7th inning, and that hurt his ERA. Okay, but he has a lot of contemporaries who pitched into the 7th, 8th inning and didn't blow up. Anyway, the point is, I'm very happy to come on the air today and say Kershaw did it finally in the World Series in Game 1. And started maybe to get the monkey off his back. We're going to get more into it, 888-SAY-ESPN. But I'd like to welcome in now. It's so bad. Roy, how do you do this? Like, if somebody, a very funny guy, Roy Wood Jr. By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Roy, look at you on Zoom.
What's up, man?
How are you?
What do you think? Well, I'm trying to look all flash and dash. I like watching that game last night. I know this is a weird thing. Is it weird to watch baseball and root for the manager? I just want Dave Roberts to get one so they'll get off his back, too. I know Kershaw been dealing with this for years and years, but low-key, this might be Dave Roberts, like, managing for his job.
Yeah, I hate Dave Roberts. He's been on this show, Roy, and he is my enemy, and I told him we're still enemies, even though we were nice to each other. Uh-oh. Because he stole that base against the Yankees. We're sports enemies forever, yeah, Dave Roberts and me.
You know, as a Cubs fan, the Dodgers always gave us fits. But, you know, I'll say this. For all of the flair that they're talking about, but well, myself included, that, you know, I like bat flips. I like a little bit of the preening and all of that. But I forgot how much I just enjoyed seeing baseball players smile. Mookie Betts is taking it back to Griffey rookie year with just grinning ear to ear in the middle of a game. And, like, to see that, like, enjoyment and, like, just to see a player loving to play the game, because you know baseball players are real straight laced and we're very and I got to spit my tobacco and he's just out there having a good. It's like watching someone in the Little League World Series who's just happy to be there.
Well,
and
especially
also outperforming everybody,
especially a guy like that. Like you see Mookie Betts in this day and age, this little dude, and these guys are monsters nowadays compared to the way they used to be. And other than Mike Trout, he's probably the best player in baseball. And unlike Mike Trout, he's now played deep into the postseason and won World Series, and you saw yesterday, kind of was the hero of the game without getting a hit, you know, just got on base, distracted the pitcher, stole a base, smart base running.
I was going back and forth with some people on Twitter, on baseball Twitter, and I can't think of a right fielder that he's 5'9", and his ups, just getting up for balls, like, Clemente is the only person. I'm not putting him in the same category or anything. I'm not getting fanatical. But Clemente was a short player. He wasn't over 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And he had the same range at the arm. Like, it's just, it's like when you see short dudes overachieve on the field, just jumping on some Muggsy Bogues, Spud Webb type
stuff. Yeah, that's right.
Spud was like 5'2" or
how tall are you,
5'3" or something like that. It's just, I'm 6'2" when I have Timberlands on. So give me
See, I'm 5'11". So when I see it, I'm like, oh, look at that. I could have done that, right? I think that's like why Steph resonates with kids, right? Because kids are like, look, you don't have to run the fastest or jump the highest or be the tallest. I could somehow do that, you know? Mookie Betts gives you the feeling like if things would have broken different, you could have been a major leaguer.
You can be 5'9". All you need to do is know how to get a good jump on a ball and know
parabolas
and geometry and know the field and, you know, also steal a couple bases and maybe hit have a little bit of pop to your bat.
I'm talking to Roy Wood Jr. You can see him on The Daily Show, of course, on Comedy Central. So, Roy, enough about baseball. No one cares about baseball anymore, apparently. Like, I love it still, but it's super local. You know, if the Yankees aren't in it, all right, okay, good. Go, Kershaw. I want him to get the monkey off his back. What about football? Let's talk a little football. I know you're a Dolphins fan. I want to know how that happened.
Yes.
I guess Dan Marino is my guess, right? But before
let's start Dan Marino.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, no, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No. Let's start with the Dolphins. They're starting Tua in place of Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though they're 3-3. What do you think of that? Your Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. You got to get the boy in there. He's got to get some reps. Sooner or later, he has to start learning the game of football. And it's better that he learn it when there's lower expectations. I think the Dolphins still have a pretty stacked – we got a bunch of draft picks still in our back pocket for 21 and 22. And that's when it's going to start being, all right, we'll be in like the third or fourth year of the Flores project. And at that point, it's like, all right, coach, are we winners or not? So if Tua's the future, then go ahead and start the future. I saw where Fitzpatrick was a little, you know, hurt by it. And as well, he should be. Starters want to start. And he's a competitive player. But I understand completely why coach made the decision. I ended up a Dolphins fan because I grew up in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that was regional coverage. Let me talk to the kids real quick. Hey, kids, there was a time when you only got one football game at 1 o'clock, and it was the only game you were allowed to watch. Like, there was no coverage of all the games. And so in the South, the Dolphins were the only decent football team in the mid to late 80s.
So how you wind up with the Cubs? The Dolphins and the Cubs is such a worse – it's such a weird combination, Dolphins-Cubs.
TV. You can like whoever you want to like in baseball, Max, but you ain't going to see them on TV till they play the Cubs or the Braves. And I couldn't watch the Braves because they came on at night and my dad wouldn't come up off the remote.
That's what I was going to ask, because Superstation TBS was, you know, usually like if you were going to have an out-of-market team, if it wasn't the Yankees, it'd be – or the Cardinals once upon a time, because if you were west of the Mississippi, that's the only team you got on the radio, it'd be the Braves. So, but your dad took the remote at night, huh?
No. I would come home after school. I would watch the back half of the Cubs day game, and then I would watch the Disney afternoon. That was watch, rinse, repeat my entire life. Shout out to DuckTales. They held me down.
Wait, DuckTales. Which one was that? Was that the Donald Duck one?
No, it was Donald Duck's nephews who went to go live with Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, right, Scrooge McDuck. That's what I mean. Was it Donald Duck as opposed to like Daffy Duck? I'm trying to distinguish between the ducks.
I'm just messing with you.
We're in Donald's world. Okay, DuckTales, right. I remember Scrooge McDuck, of course.
Yeah.
Now, all right.
He was the homie, man. Scrooge McDuck and his lucky dime.
Okay, so here's the thing I like about Brian Flores. That team, remember last year, beginning of last year, we were like, boy, that might be the worst NFL team of all time. They quit this and that. By the end of the year, they beat the Patriots in a game the Patriots really needed to have. Now they're sitting at 3-3. And I agree with you. You got to get Tua in there. You got to start developing the young guy. He is a special talent, not one of these dudes you're kind of hoping works out, but a dude you could see was special from the earliest time in college.
Fact check me on it, but I think the Dolphins ended 7-9 last year, which I believe was an overachievement. And so to go into this year, I think it was just, what are the other pieces that you're going to build around to? Of course, the first question was always going to be to his health, and would he be healthy enough to even be in a position to start, you know, taking his lumps this early in the season. But I think if he's healthy, you have to get him out there so that next year you're in a – you also have to remember, we're in the AFC East. There's only three teams in the East, you know? So all we have to do is be better than the Bills. We don't know what Cam Newton's going to do. I feel like Cam Newton, if he does well enough, he's auditioning for a job somewhere else in the league if he doesn't like playing under Belichick's system. So the Patriots might be on a new quarterback. Fitzpatrick might end up in New England for all we know. And the Jets are a non-factor. I know Jets fans are screaming at, you know, at the speakers right now saying that there's four teams in the East. There's three.
Right. No, of course. Quickly, before I let you go.
9-7 could win that division is what I'm saying.
Wow. Listen, I root for the Giants. A 5-win team might come out of that division. Before I let you go, the Cowboys, America's team, Roy, I say it's time for a change. It's a mess.
Are they still?
Go ahead.
Are they still America's team? At what point do we – I mean to cut off your question, but at what point do we re-vote on America's team?
You don't coming up in a couple
to
weeks.
Be an America's team, and well, that's a different team. I'm talking about just a regular.
Oh, I was just thinking an America's team that's a mess and needing a change.
I'll say this about the Cowboys. I love the players, but I also love seeing Jerry Jones sad because he thinks he knows everything, and that makes me as a sports fan, it just makes me happy. It feels good to see someone who thinks they have it all figured out sitting in that suite, all dumbfounded, down there on the field, intimidating the players. Go back up in the box, Jerry. But, you know, it's also interesting that wasn't it starting to leak that some of the players are saying that the coaches don't know what they're doing?
That's right. That's right. The coaches aren't teaching us anything. They're not. But here's the thing that strikes me. And Ryan Clark said it on TV this morning on ESPN, on Get Up and on First Take. Like, Dak Prescott, who you thought you knew was pretty good, is even better than you understood, because he goes down and 5 minutes later, not only can't they score a point, but everyone's at everyone's throats. Like, the whole thing is unraveling. Boy, Dak is it. Mike McCarthy and Andy Dalton just made Dak some money, Roy.
Do you think the worse the Cowboys are, the more money Dak can now negotiate for? Like, as horrible as the injury was, I would hope that he's in a position to get more money than what he turned down the first time, because it's really exposed just how important he was. You thought I was this important? Nah, dog, I'm this important.
Well, you can see him, of course, on The Daily Show, where he's funny. I don't know, Roy. You had like one or two funny little almost moments here today. But that's not funny, Roy Wood.
Well, I appreciate
funny
it.
Roy Wood is on the Daily Show.
Yeah,
that guy's hilarious.
Bro, I'm in my serious mode. I got plants in the background.
Once you see plants, or even Roy, better yet, books. If you're in the library setting or a fireplace, that says serious.
Look how smart I am. Look at all these books behind me.
Do you think people really carefully choose the books and the titles so they can show you how smart they are or what they're into? Right? I think that probably happens.
There's people color coding the books. There's people making the books. I put all my yellow books on this shelf, all my blue books. You didn't start doing that until the pandemic shut down.
You didn't read War and Peace.
Stop it.
You didn't read War and Peace and Moby Dick. Get out of here. Roy Wood, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Cowboys fans and Cowboys haters, I'm going to take some of your calls. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. ESPN Investigates Season 2, The Running Man podcast, is now available. Subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts. So, Cowboys players say the coaches aren't good at their jobs. Following a 38-10 loss to Arizona on Monday night, frustration seems to be boiling over in the Dallas Cowboys locker room. For NFL Network's Jane Slater, an unnamed Cowboys player, said members of the coaching staff, quote, aren't good at their jobs, end quote, and realize there are a lot of players on a football team. If you want to find a quote, a lot of times you can. Another player said the coaches are, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly, end quote. And yet, even though there are a lot of players, and if you want to find a quote, you can, notice when Dak was quarterbacking this team, this didn't happen. There was a lot of optimism around the Cowboys coming into the season, as there usually is, because of the offensive talent. Dallas finished first in total yards per game, second in Football Outsiders offensive DVOA, and sixth in points scored last season under first-year offensive coordinator Kellen Moore in 2019. Now, let me tell you a little story. And as a Giants fan, I hope that Jerry Jones keeps on doing what he's been doing. If there's a Super Bowl played this year, they get through the COVID situation and somehow get to a Super Bowl and they play it and someone wins it, this will be the 25th season since the Cowboys' last Super Bowl. A quarter century for the so-called America's team. A quarter century. Why is that? Why is it that every year we have such high hopes for the Cowboys? Like, the team is covered more than any other. There was a snake oil salesman named Tex Schramm once upon a time who said, for the Cowboys, who came up with a publicity stunt. Hey, we're going to call it America's team. And it caught on. Why not? Located right in the middle of the country, right? a huge state and a big football state, the Dallas Cowboys. They captured the American imagination, especially when they started winning Super Bowls, and they've won 5 in their history, second most to the Steelers, 6, and the Patriots, 6 now, of course. Jerry Jones buys the team. And by the way, Jimmy Johnson, the head coach way back in the day, took over a one-win team. Like when his first season, I think they had one win. And within a couple years, they won the Super Bowl and then another. And Jerry Jones couldn't take the fact that Jimmy Johnson was getting so much credit. Big ego Jimmy Johnson. The press loved him and his team was succeeding. And I think Jerry wanted to show it's not Jimmy Johnson. So he fires Jimmy Johnson and hires Barry Switzer. College coach, of course. And Switzer wins one more, which it was really Jimmy Johnson's team still. He won another Super Bowl with Jimmy Johnson's team. And then that was it. No more Super Bowls for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, why do we think they always have a chance? Because they're the most covered team. So we know their players. If I tell you Lyle Conn, by the way, a lot of these guys are hurt. Travis Frederick is gone, right? He's retired, the center. If I tell you Lyle Collins or Zach Martin, you know the names if you're a football fan. The Cowboys aren't your team, but you know their offensive line. So because and not to mention the skills position players. So because they're more covered, you are more familiar with the players. And because you're more familiar with them, they're branded in your mind as actual players, not just Jags, just a guy. They're more than that to you. And as a consequence, you overrate them. Both sides of the ball, by the way. The Cowboys were favored by some to win the Super Bowl last year. They were 8-8. Eagles had everyone missing off the team, and they still won the division. And then this year, some people thought they were going to be even better. They have one win. See, here's the problem. There were, you know, we asked on First Take today, is it the coaches or the players? It's neither. It's the owner and the GM. The owner must fire the GM. The problem is, it's him. Jerry Jones has to take himself into a room and sit himself down and say, Jerry, I never want to have this conversation. It's a very difficult conversation to have. And then he could say, but Jerry, what'd I do? And then Jerry can say, Jerry, we're going to move in a different direction. We got to move in another direction. It's best for the franchise. Got to do it. Because it's not the coach or the player. Here's the problem. Jerry Jones looked at this team and thought, we're right there. We're going to win now. The problem is the guy I handpicked for the head coaching job, he's not the guy. Neither is a play caller. That's what Kellen Moore is doing there. Nor is kind of a CEO, like the leader of the organization. So I need to find someone, because Kellen Moore is going to call the plays, right? I need to find someone who can at least lead a team, give me a good feel. Like, who has pedigree? I can sell it to the fan base. He has a Super Bowl championship, and he just gives you a sense of a football coach. And by the way, he has to embrace analytics nowadays, right? Or at least publicly say, now I get it. But also, I don't want him getting any credit in case we win. And I need to be able to push him around, so it can't be a guy with leverage who's highly sought after. It's a guy who no one's going to hire. Mike McCarthy. So he hires Mike McCarthy, who, oh, now I get it. I should look at analytics. He doesn't know anything about analytics. But he gives you a good sense that he's like a CEO of the organization. The Dallas Cowboys were not ready to win because Jerry and Steven overrate their drafting and development. They're not bad. They're much worse GMs than the combination of Jerry and Steven, but they're far from elite. But they think they're elite, and sometimes we think that their talent is elite because we're more familiar with them. The problem's not the coach, and the problem's not the players. The problem is the general manager, Jerry Jones. Mitch in Fort Worth, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, Max, I'm all fired up about this American team. I am 58 years old, and I've heard that since I was a kid. Nobody told me. I must have been out of the country. I don't know. And that same with Atlanta Braves. I don't know if they still feel themselves as America's team. Man, I'm from Southern California, and I've been a diehard Patriots fan, go figure, since I was like 8 years old.
A diehard what fan? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. A diehard what fan?
Patriots fan. Since,
gotcha.
Since I was eight years old. I'm not a bandwagon. I suffered with them through Grogan. I suffered with them through everybody. 85 Chicago Bear debacle. Anyway, that's beside the point. I digress. But this whole America's team, number one, they play in Arlington. They should be called the Arlington Cowboys.
Yes.
Not to mention the division is so weak, it's an embarrassment. 2-4 in your first place. Are you kidding me with that?
The Arlington Cowboys. Mitch, you know what? I like it. Let's call them the Arlington Cowboys from now on until they get their act together.
Absolutely. And then when those shots come back from Monday Night Football, ESPN, Thursday Night Football, and they say, oh, Dallas. They should, you know, I think the mayor got into a little eating contest with the network one time because they refused to say Arlington. But anyway, Mac, that's all I got to say.
All right. Oh, Mitch, good call. And let me tell you, you gave me another good idea as a Giants fan. With the Giants in this kind of state, in fact, the actual state they play in is New Jersey. They're the New Jersey Giants until further notice. It's the Arlington Cowboys and the New Jersey Giants. I feel like Eddie Murphy in Coming to America. I renounce my throne. We renounce the Giants and the Jets. Until they get their act together. They're laughingstocks right now. Well, listen, the Braves were called America's team because they were Superstation TBS, right? So they were broadcast all over the country at a time where really no one else was. You could catch, I used to catch every Braves game. Whenever the Yankees weren't on, I could watch the Braves.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Protect your neck. That's right, that ushered in a whole new era. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, Raj, I'm ready. I'm ready to say no doubt or nah, son. Go ahead.
All right, let's see how many times you do it. Now you teased it, now we've got to know. Rockets owner says Houston will not trade James Harden or Russell Westbrook. My question to you, Max, is the Rockets must trade Harden or Westbrook?
Sure. I mean, like, you have to put a
Not sure. No, it's not called sure.
No doubt. No doubt. You have to put a GM in place first. You can't take anything off the table. See, I can't say no doubt or nah, son, because you have to let a GM determine what you can get for him. As I explained to Stephen A., on First Take, I don't think it took, was the winner of any trade in the NBA and throughout history has always been the team that got the best player in the deal. So it's really hard to trade a guy like James Harden, right? But you also want to trade him before he has less value than his peak value if you're not going to win a championship with him anyway. Like, Shaq was already in decline when the Lakers traded him, and it was a mistake because they didn't get equal value back. Patrick Ewing was basically cooked by the time the Knicks traded him, and so they just got salary cap problems back. It was worse off if they, you know, then they should have just let him walk.
All right,
you have a guy like James Harden, it's hard to get equal value, but if you get Giannis or someone like that, you got to make the deal.
All right, next question. Baker Mayfield will be benched before the season ends.
Nah, son. You don't have – who are you going to go to? Like, if you have someone on the roster, better. Baker's not a terrible quarterback. He's just okay. Mm. No, the issue is you drafted him first overall. And the real ballers on that team know he ain't it. What else you got?
Yeah. All right, let's listen to our friend Sal Palantonio.
I'm listening.
All right, Sal. We only have 30 seconds, so we don't have time to listen to him because it's like, Hey, Eagles need to use Jalen Hurts more.
No doubt. Like, how much worse could Hurts be doing than Carson Wentz? You mean to tell me if you would have started Hurts, and he can't hold on to the ball either, Hurts. Carson Wentz has fumbled, has turned the ball over in Eagles territory eight times in six games. If Jalen Hurts could play at all in practice, I'm sure he'd already have the job. And how much worse would the Eagles' record be right now? They have one win. You tell me Hurts would have no wins? So there's no doubt. I can't believe after I said I was going to say no doubt or nah, son, once again I said sure. What's the matter with me?
No doubt.